Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5, a central podcast where we give you all the news, the reviews, and the...
Hangar.
No, stop. That's not catching on.
I will refuse
to let
week.
That catch on. It's rumors, not kangaroomers.
We are Aussie, mate.
Shut up.
It's our national animal, mate.
Shut up, idiot. I am Dan the Man.
Dan Allen Gaming.
And on my, in the blue corner, Vicarth.
Pointing!
I am doing well.
I should be Jordan, in the blue corner. You should be in the red.
I should be in the red.
Blue's my color.
Jordan is absent. Absentee. He's, I guess he'll be okay with us saying, but he's getting married on the weekend.
Whoa,
which is very exciting.
Jordan.
So
getting
we're
hitched.
Obviously pretty busy, probably got a lot of last minute stuff to prepare, and we are both very excited to be at his wedding. So
speak for yourself.
bought a suit the other day.
Yeah, man, you were looking quite fly in that suit.
Yeah, sent you a photo, mate, you know.
Shout out to our stylist.
If anyone in the local area, a very specific area in the suburb of Glen Waverley, Whiskey on Rocks.
Whiskey on Rocks, man. He'll look after you. You may be down a few thousand, though.
Yeah.
Once you come out, but it's worth it.
Because you just keep wanting to spend there. But no, very excited for Jordan. And yeah, hopefully we get a photo of us three. Chuck it on the socials.
Yeah, look. Hopefully my publicist can work something out with you and Jordan. But I can't guarantee anything, you know.
Yeah.
Only joking. No, that'll be good. So Vicarth, it's been a few weeks. We have to say sorry again for not delivering a podcast last week. We have been busy, but we are back. We know you guys have been itching, and you have all been playing different games. I've been playing a few. Yeah. So has Vic. He's actually finished a game, would you believe it?
I know.
So we're going to go into that.
It's a round of applause, I reckon.
But we'll start off with Star Wars Jedi Survivor, which you haven't picked up yet, Vic. I have beaten the game.
I have picked it up.
Oh, you have picked it up. Okay.
Yeah, about 5 hours in or so.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Maybe a little more. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, we can have a back and forth here. And now you guys know we don't really prepare, as you can see. We do not prepare. I specifically tell Vic, let's not talk about gaming unless we're on here, if we can help it.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's organic, you know.
Save it for the pod is one of the most common sayings we have when we start talking about gaming.
It actually becomes annoying when you really want to talk about something. You just got to hold off if you can. But, yeah, we sometimes break that rule. Anyway, Jedi Survivor... Fallen Order was a really great game. I gave that a 9 back in 2019. Mm. So my hopes were high for this one, continuing the story of these great characters. I had gone off Star Wars a little bit due to the movies and the too much content out there that I was consuming on that world, and I got a bit over it. But this has brought me back to Star Wars in a good way. I really love the game. The only glaring issue that everyone's been talking about is performance, and it's not just PC, the bad performance. It's actually on PS5 as well, sadly. There is a plethora of issues in terms of graphical glitches, and you know, I've battled through this before with Cyberpunk and recently with Hogwarts Legacy and other games, and I'm starting to feel it now. 60 frames... running well, 4K, is it that much to ask, Vic? And I know we've beaten this on the head and so have so many others, but that was what I thought the standard would be this gen. And even this game, it supposedly does that, but I'm dropping frames so much throughout different areas. Some areas, it feels like it's 20 frames it's running at. This is PS5, And I can't imagine PC, which I haven't dived into. Have you had those issues as well? We are going to get into some of the positives, but I want to just get this out of the way quickly, the performance stuff.
Yeah, I've been seeing it a lot, man. And I'm not even like a performance frame rate type of guy. Like I can notice 30 and 60 pretty clearly, and it's gotten to the point where I really can't play at 30. Like I'm in my eyes, if I play at 30, it'll get used to it if I play 30 from the start. But once you experience 60, going back to 30 is quite jarring, and it takes me a while to get
back. Oh, so you were playing on performance. You were not playing on...
I was playing it on performance, and I was seeing a lot of frame drops.
Even on performance, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Look, I think that it was interesting you were talking about standards, right? We thought that 4K 60 would be the standard, but here's the thing, right? The problem is every studio that's making a game, they are not making native PS5 games, maybe aside from first party. We are still, it's been like, nearly 4 years, Dan? It's definitely been more than 3 years since we've had the PS5. And we are still making games for the previous generation. I know COVID and the supply issues and the supply constraints, but so I'm not saying whether that's a bad or a good thing, but I'm just saying we can never tell. We can never see if that standard can be achieved because all these companies are making for the previous gen. Who knows? If Jedi Survivor was only made for next or current gen, I should say, then maybe we would have 4K 60.
It is on current gen. It's not on
is
PS4.
It only current?
Yeah, current only. Yeah, but it's on Unreal 4. And I think that's where the issue lies because Unreal Engine 4 was also Hogwarts. I feel like that engine is... There's something going on there in terms of open world games and optimization because when you look at Decima Engine, Horizon, Death Stranding, they don't have these issues, man. I took those games for granted after playing these two. Like, they ran flawlessly.
Metal Gear 5.
Yeah. You have to admit that.
Hogwarts it hasn't come out the previous gen, but they are making
not yet,
it for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Switch, I'm pretty sure. So maybe for Jedi Survivor.
They probably were going to put this on PS4, but it was just so poorly done they had to cancel
it. What I'm saying, if you even just try to make a game for PS4, even if your intention is PS5 only, and then we'll see if it can get onto PS4. You've already reduced the standard. Your lowest common denominator is now the PS4, and it just makes it hard to optimize for the PS5, I think. And look, yeah, I get Jedi Survivor is incredibly broken, but Dan, like what I saw, you know, when you compare, and I'm not saying that these two studios are comparable in any way, but when I compare a game like God of War and Horizon and the fluidity of their animations and the cutscenes compared to Jedi Survivor, Jedi Survivor just looks far inferior in the
But imagine if Jedi had that quality. Yeah. It would be a 10 out of 10. It could easily be that.
Sometimes the animations are stiff, because I notice the animations are very stiff and janky. Sometimes it works to its advantage, like when you're doing flips. I like that you can climb and traverse and parkour really fast and quickly, and it's very responsive. And that's probably the product of having character animations that are very reactive and a bit to the point where it looks janky when you're switching between animations. But even like the way Cal, like when the transition between gameplay and cutscene, it's really bad actually. Like the character has to run to the exact right place, it stutters a bit, it freezes a bit, and then it goes down, and the graphics aren't the best. Like, I don't know, but I definitely that stuck out to me like a sore thumb. So look, even if they made this for PS5, it's really strange that they couldn't get it running if they were able to just make this for the next gen or the current gen, I should say, current gen consoles. So
yeah, so that was one thing that sort of bummed me out a little bit, and it just kept going on. And they've said they're doing patches, and I've downloaded latest patches. They haven't really done anything. I'm not sure this can be fixed quickly. I feel like this will take quite a while for them to get their hands around it. So again, we end up saying we recommend a game, but maybe not at launch. And this feels like we say this about every game now. Let them iron out a few bugs. If you can avoid spoilers here and there, it might be worth just holding off on a lot of these games, unless it's, say, Sony first party. They're the only ones that seem to be quite reliable, besides a few other outliers.
Positives, Dan?
Yeah, let's go into some of the positives on Jedi Survivor. From a gameplay point of view, it is just pure fun. I love how they've added five stances, and I found myself switching between them quite regularly. I thought I was going to go for the Darth Maul sort of double, but ended up going for the dual wield, two and one in each hand. Found that to be the most fun for me. And then the blaster stance was pretty cool as well. Some brutal animations and takedowns with that. Felt a bit like Han Solo, put on his little outfit as well. And then I found a mullet. I couldn't put the mullet on Cal.
I found that
couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do it. I gave him a nice beard for the journey. Had to.
Is it not the most video game thing? You're looking through a box and you find a beard. You find a
no,
beard.
But I don't care. I do not care. I love it.
It's so good. It's
give
so
me
good,
more
yeah.
video gamey shit like that.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like, I'm all for skipping animations for picking up plants or skinning animals, whatever. I know there's a place for that, like Red Dead, where it's at hyper realism, but a game like Horizon, when I'm running and picking up, I don't need her Aloy to go down, pick it up. You know, and that's why I turned it off, and it made the game infinitely more fun when I turned off that setting. I'm glad they actually have a setting, but more video games.
Hold
stuff,
on, what was the setting
know,
for?
You can actually turn off the pickup animations for Aloy when she picks up.
Oh,
plants.
Yeah. No, like I thought you meant for Jedi. Yeah. They don't have that for Jedi, but you don't really get run into that issue as much with Jedi.
Speaking of animations, Dan, I wanted to skip. Talk about this later.
What?
But the Alohomora in Hogwarts Legacy was driving me nuts.
Oh, no.
Stupid minigame.
Oh, no. Yeah, did we talk about that a few weeks ago? I think we did, but anyway.
Just give me a toggle to skip it, mate. I don't need to bloody do this every time I'm unlocking something.
That reminds me, so in all these open world games, and we've talked about this before, they always have a mini game that I get sucked into. Okay.
Like Strike in Horizon.
Strike in Horizon. Yeah. Assassin's Creed had a fantastic one. And this game has one as well where it's called the Holocaust. I think, where the enemy throws a couple of enemies on a board at you, and then you've got a certain amount of points, and you've got to pick certain enemies, but you can only choose ones that you've scanned in the game, and that's the reason you're scanning BD scanning those enemies in the game. Did you notice that? How you scan the enemies once you kill them? That's
cool.
Why.
Because
you unlock them for that game. And I was wondering what the connection was there, and that was cool. So I ended up using some big beasts that I won, and it was just a really fun game. I wish there was more of it. I smashed it in about an hour. Whereas some of those other games,
awesome.
they're like 10 hours plus you can do. But so
I'll tell you what, I love that. Yes, I understand the expansion of a codex, and it was pretty big in Mass Effect where you read the codex, but it's really cool that there's a benefit to it, like a real tangible gaming benefit to scanning something. Yeah. Than just adding it to a codex. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. That's such a brilliant idea. Makes me want to go kill enemies and scan them. Unique enemies. Like I killed the Rancor like the other day, and that was like really cool to scan it. Like I didn't know about this until you just told me now.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gotten to that part. But that just makes me excited to find these legendary enemies or you know, and try to go for it. That's awesome.
What difficulty are you playing? I'm on normal as usual. Are you one above?
Yeah, just the middle Jedi Knight, I think, is
the normal.
Yeah,
you did
one,
normal,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
because there's a few sliding options. Tough. I like that. That shows you what you're going to get out of it. There was like five options. I think that's how you do it. Five options. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
That's just the perfect way to do it, I feel like, these days.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
But, Jedi Knight, I believe it was normal. And the story starts off a little slow. I don't know how you're finding it 5 hours in, but once you get into the groove, that last, I would say, half really got me in, and I was beelining it. You know that feeling where you just want to keep doing
that's
the
awesome.
Story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a good story.
Whereabouts are you with the story at the moment? Has it hooked you?
I just met Grease, but I've been running around that world before. Like I've been doing a lot of that world.
Oh, not this again. But you can't.
It's fun, man. I love it.
But you can't do everything. You got to come back anyway, you know.
Yeah, I know. You're right, Dan. I actually satisfied my exploration tick, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come back later and do this. So I'm now back to just doing the story, but I've satisfied my...
And it's cool when you come back and you go, I remember this. I couldn't get through. Now I know exactly what I need to do. It's just a cool feeling in any game.
I think you can see the difference in the level design. If you look at the first game, the level design, while it may be similar in terms of let's have these hub-like worlds, there is clearly it's more linear. It's there's less variation. There's less open worldy, which I actually think worked against Fallen Order. But with Jedi Survivor, they've opened it up. There's more areas to explore. There's wildlife and wild animals, or a lot more of it, I should say. There's a lot more enemies. And it just, it encourages exploration, and it's more God of War-y. And I know they specifically mentioned, the devs specifically mentioned God of War when they were talking about level design.
Oh, I could see that all over it. Yeah.
Yeah, you can see that all over it. And it works to its betterment. It was one of the big gripes I had with the previous one. I know you said you gave the previous one a 9. I gave it about a 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I wasn't, funnily enough, I wasn't the most hot on that game. I thought the story and the characters were a bit bland, and I thought the level design wasn't the greatest. 7 is still good, though. I was really impressed with the gameplay.
I know, we're going 7. Wow, yeah, that's so bad. It's still good.
No, but 7's great, yeah. And I commend Respawn for making such a quality game in Fallen Order in such a short time. At their first foray after something like, you know, Apex and Titanfall. So I think they've done a phenomenal job. And then Survivor is great too. Yeah. So, yeah. What else?
Yeah. So the story hasn't got you in yet, because you mentioned that you weren't a big fan of the first game story.
Yeah. Oh, it hasn't got me in just yet. That's why I'm exploring a bit. But I've heard from a few reviewers that it gets good in the second half. So, and you just said there, you beelined it. So I'm excited, because that's the main motivator for me in any game. It's the story. Mm. You know, it's if it's not a good story, then I'm not very motivated.
Much better than Hogwarts, this one.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, mate. Much better. Much better story than Hogwarts, I have to say.
I have a lot to say about that game.
So hold on. Let's. How many stances have you unlocked at the moment? Because you get five or six.
Yeah,
I think five.
I don't have the cross guard or the blaster stance. I just have dual wield, single wield, and double bladed. Yeah. So I'd use the dual wield because I like the instant parry ability where you can just cancel an attack to block, to parry. That's sort of, I'm super aggressive when I play hack and slash. So I want to be able to like instantly parry when I need to.
When they give me a parry like this, I'm all over it. I'm the parry god, they call me.
I love parrying.
I don't even use the dodge as much. Well, you have to, but...
For unblockables, but I think it was interesting. I think the reason why I'm a lot hotter on Jedi Survivor as well is probably because in between Fallen Order, before Fallen Order, I'd never really played much hack and slash. But if you think about the games I've played in between, big ones being Elden Ring and God of War, probably both God of Wars.
Sort of similar in a way, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, it just got me into the hack and slash. It got me used to it, got me to like it more, got me to appreciate it more, got me better at it, and understood the mechanics more. So coming into Jedi Survivor, I'm actually having a lot of fun fighting enemies, where in Jedi Fallen Order, I just felt like I was scrimmaging my way through it or scurrying my way through it, like not really appreciating it. So that's why I put an asterisk on my 7, because I'm like, did I really play it the way they intended me to play it? But this game, I'm loving it.
When did you play the first one? When it came out?
Oh, shortly after. Yeah.
It is kind of Star Wars Uncharted in a way, isn't it? Uncharted 4 specifically, with the traversal. I just found like they've taken a few things from that as well, because I found the traversal in this one a lot better than the last. Just super fun, and some of the challenges that, you know, the puzzles that are to do with that as well, keep you thinking.
It's a lot faster. I like
that. It's a lot faster, yeah.
I hate slow climbing.
Didn't you have to hold a button for the wall run and stuff like that in the first one? And they've cleared that out a bit as well.
Yeah.
Just made the controls a bit more responsive. And in terms of side quests, I'm cleaning a few of them up now. There's some cool stuff there. Most of it operates out of that planet, this big planet. I forgot the name of it, but you're in the saloon and you know, you got to get the jukebox going and the fish tank and the holocaust and the plants up top, and there's so much you're coming back for. So you sort of head out, then you come back, talk to everyone, and you're in that loop. I sort of love that in games when there's a base of operations that you're sort of upgrading or coming back to, keeps you, I don't know, there's something about it to me that just keeps the flow going or keeps it like I'm working towards something. I don't know. There's just something about it.
When Kyle and I were playing Mass Effect together, Kyle and I have both completed Mass Effect multiple times, or we've played the trilogy. We were doing a Renegade run together with another friend of ours, and we'd always say every time we went to the oh my gosh, how am I forgetting the ship's name? The Normandy. We would always say let's do the rounds, and doing the rounds is just talking, you go to each floor, you talk to everyone after every mission, and you develop your relationships and all that sort of stuff. So,
but yeah,
you're right.
Love that
when
stuff?
You go to a hub world, it's so good. You
and
look
Destiny,
forward to it.
That
you
was the fun part about Destiny to me, is going back to the hub sometimes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So going back to a hub world, getting that narrative payoff when talking to different people is great. This game's really fun, man. Like, I'm having so much fun. I think the gameplay is, like you said, a lot tighter. And it's the mechanics are great. The stances are great. Anyone who has ever played the Jedi Outcast, Jedi Academy series, they had a variety of stances and even the single saber stance.
What was this on, by the way? What was this?
It's on PC, but it's on consoles now. They've ported it to consoles.
How long ago?
A few years ago. Maybe, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they ported Jedi Outcast. I'm pretty sure Jedi Academy would be there now. Jedi Academy is one of my favorites. But
so have they taken things from that game, you think?
Well, yeah. So in that game, you would just have a single blade, right? And that had three different or four different stances. There's a heavy stance, a light stance. So they've obviously retrofitted that to double-bladed lightsaber being that sort of crowd control stance. You've got the heavy stance being the crossguard saber. You know, so it's they've got that going with the different stances, and they've put the stances into the lightsabers, which I think is great. Now, the Jedi Academy and stuff, you could use double-bladed and dual-wield and stuff like that, and they had their own stances, really creative. And if anyone knows those games, there is still a vibrant multiplayer community because the saber battles in that game are insane. They're really good mechanics. But it's good that this game is gone more that way. It's a lot more complex. They've fleshed out the saber combat. And it's a lot of fun.
They're probably missing one or two more animations here and there with each stance. I know they're probably peeling it back a little bit not for the casual, but to keep things a little bit more simple. And yes, you do upgrade. You can upgrade certain things as you go with the skill tree and all that. And this seems like it does the skill tree pretty well, Vike. I know you've had a gripe with skill trees in the past where they're, you know, one XP extra. This actually has tangible effects for the most part. So
I was
that's
thinking
good.
The exact same thing, Dan, when I was playing this game. I'm like, man, this skill tree is good. I think skill trees have become so oversaturated in so many games to the point where, and they've done it in a way where the skill trees are meaningless. I don't care if they're oversaturated. If they're good skill trees,
I don't care.
You're
calling out Valhalla here a little bit.
Not only Valhalla, but I think a lot of skill trees, there are some good skills that are worth, and there are some pretty, do I need it? They're just a stepping stone to unlock a bigger skill. They're just doing that to pad it out a bit, to give you that sense of progression. Where Jedi Survivor, their skill trees aren't that big. The requirements for some of those skill trees, 2 skill points, 3 skill points, that's good. I'd rather have quality and harder to get than quantity.
Yeah,
and
you're not getting them as regular, but you've got they're worth more. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and it makes and also you know, I'm not using the single blade stance, so I don't need to spend anything on that. So that's good. Like, there's still plenty of variety for me there.
Well, yeah, there's a full skill tree for every stance. There's one for force. There's one for 100%. Survival. I always go for survival in every game first. I don't know what it is about me, but I just...
No, I'm the same.
I always want to get the health up, max, as early as possible.
Up. Stamina.
Yeah, I don't know if it's always the best strategy, but I seem to always do that, so... No, I've beaten the game and I definitely recommend it. It's just if you're willing to put up with those performance issues at this stage, then go ahead and pick it up. But if you maybe want to wait a month or two. It might work out in your favor because it might drop in price and you might also get a better experience out of it.
Agreed. It's such a great game. I'm loving it. So definitely I recommend it. But like Dan said, with the caveat of maybe wait, give it a month or two for them to clean up everything, the bugs. I've had the game crash on me, which is frustrating because...
Yeah, I've had about 10 crashes. No? Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's been a while since you've saved and you've got to do everything all over again, open the boxes, fight the bosses you've done, it can get really frustrating because with Jedi Survivor, there's no autosave. You know, as in you have the only way you can save is in between resting points or meditation points. So it can get really annoying if there's a long time and you've banked up all this XP and then you have to lose it. It's frustrating because when you die or restart, when you die, you lose the XP, right? So if you crash, you know.
Yeah, I had a big section. It was like a 20-minute section and there was one guy left and he was so close to dead and I was so close to dead and he got me with a pistol shot and I had to go all the way back.
It's a good fear. At least you can get it back. It's not like Elden Ring. Yeah. Well, Elden Ring, you could get it back too because you just have to pick up your thing. But
you only got one chance to get it back in Elden Ring.
Yeah, but even Survivor you do as well, right?
Oh, maybe. Okay. Maybe,
before you collect it. I'm assuming you die. But that being said, I love that system. It's a good gamble whether you want to keep it all or spend it, and it gives you a penalty for hoarding it. You know, one of the best gambling systems, this is a bit of a tangent, Dan, but one of the best gambling systems in terms of this currency, whether that be XP or money or whatever, is I actually really enjoyed Need for Speed Heat.
Okay, mate.
Do you remember?
Come off it.
If the day-night cycle where you had to get all that XP, all that money.
Yeah, that was good for a racer. It worked well for a racer.
And then the more you did and the more your heat level went up, the higher the heat level, the higher the multiplier. So that was great. Yeah,
but because, you had to like racing at night. That was the issue.
Well, yeah, that being said, but at heat level 5 where you've got the biggest multiplier, but also the cops are insane. So it's like,
yeah, I know. They're
you get high risk, high reward, and then you have to go home and bank it. But then you want to stay out to increase the multiplier while you still have it. Cause once it's a new day, you got to start back at level 1. It was, I don't know. I love these sort of these gambling mechanics. These are the good gambling mechanics. We don't want no loot boxes, but this is a good, those systems I really enjoy. Kind of gives you that, fight or flight type thinking where, you know, should I go out one more, do one more round of fighting enemies, or should I meditate and use the XP, that sort of thing. So,
no, we're going to talk about this game more next week when Jordan, because he's been playing it too. Vike will be further along. I'll be further along. I'll probably have the platinum by then. Who knows? So, we'll probably talk about this again. But hopefully, with the sequel, that they move to Unreal 5. We know how good Unreal 5 looks.
Yeah. And that's got to be the new standard, eh? That's what everyone needs to be pushing to.
Because you'll notice in this game as well, they do what God of War does, where you're crawling through small spaces to cover the loading, which is becoming a norm for all these games. I find it hilarious.
It's funny, like, I do wonder, the shimmying to get to load everything.
There's a shimmy that takes 3 minutes, but at the end of it is an Easter egg. It's in this secret little cave. You have to look it up.
Do you want to know the best one, Dan?
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 3, to climb the ladder is about 5 minutes.
What?
6 minutes of you just, and it's just Snake just going on, like this,
at the end?
Climbing up. No, just like somewhere through the game, partway through the game.
What for?
You have to climb a ladder. It's just part of the game.
It's loading.
It takes like 5 minutes. Yeah.
Damn.
Well, I don't know if it's loading or Kojima just put that there as a troll. But the funniest thing is, while you're climbing the ladder, the Snake Eater song comes, and the whole song plays because you're still climbing, and the whole song plays.
I don't remember that.
It's so funny. I gotta send it to you. But it's Metal Gear Solid 3.
Is that your? I forgot. That's not your favorite one, is it?
MGS1 is. It's always going to be my favorite.
Yeah, but no, out of 2 and 3.
Oh, that's a tough one. I really enjoyed
'cause 3 was more. That was when Kojima started doing shit like, what do you call it? Survival. What do you call that? Where you've got to patch yourself.
Yeah. You can put that camo.
Crazy stuff.
Really. MGS3 is insane in that, like, where it had camo, food, rash. Like
food, yes.
Survive.
Exactly.
You can get, like,
Where it was like playing, you were playing yourself in real life. keeping yourself alive.
Yeah, you have to put medicine or you have to bandage your wounds if you broke a bone.
But that wasn't in the last two. You know what I mean? So which one was that the biggest
difference? Metal Gear Solid 2 had a funny mechanic where if you swam around too much in the water, I think like leeches could come or like insects could come and eat your rations. And to like, you have to like shake your rations by flicking in and out of the rations. It was really interesting.
Oh my God. Classic.
Yeah, it's such a Kojima thing.
Classic.
MGS2 was good fun. Like, anyone who plays that knows how far ahead that game. Like, he was talking about things like the information age, the power of the internet, social media, fake news, all that stuff. And this came out like 10, 15 years ago, and he was talking about all that now and how the government controls the information and the media control the information we see. And I'm like, it's just like, isn't that what we're living in now? Like, it's so interesting. So it's such a futurist type game. Really good. Recommend
and Death Stranding, we're all going to be delivering packages. No, he's the base around Death Stranding is connectivity, which actually ended up being very prominent with COVID and that. So that's why people call him a visionary in a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
For those reasons, not only because his games are so good, but so anyway, moving on from Star Wars, I also finished Dead Island 2. I'm not sure if we talked about this or not. I'll just quickly go over it. It's zombie slasher, and to my absolute shock, I could not believe that Dead Island 2 is the best running game of the year. It's so funny because that's the last game you'd pick to have good performance. No issues at all. Can you believe it? And it's one of the best gore systems I've ever seen in a game. Fantastic. So good that every YouTube video gets demonetized. But no, I really enjoyed it. It was just, you're not in it for the story. You're simply there to kill some zombies, make some crazy weapons, some crazy characters. You're in LA, you're in Hollywood, you're in Beverly Hills, some cool areas. And you know what you're getting into. Again, I think this will be a perfect game. Maybe not full price, but maybe down the line when it's $30-$40. Great purchase. You knock it out in a weekend, you have fun, no dramas. It's one of those games. So I do recommend it, but there's so many other games right now that I'd recommend over it, like Resident Evil 4, Dead Space, even Star Wars with the issues maybe over that from a story perspective and fun and gameplay. But yeah, no, if you could get a chance and if you're still into that zombie stuff, this is probably one of the better ones. I actually found it better than Dead Island 2. I enjoyed it more than Dead Island 2, surprisingly. So kudos to them. I mean, it was development hell for 10 years and they finally got it out. And I spoke to some of the actors about it and they jumped on board in 2019. So it looked like it sort of went through a reshuffle. And then in 2019, they really started. So about 4 or 5 years of dev time. Yeah, great performance. Good looking game too. Very linear, not really open world, very linear, which I like. The only downside is that story, which you sort of know what you're getting into. And some people might say it's a little bit repetitive, but it's a zombie slasher. It does it well. So that's Dead Island 2. Now, Vike, you finished Hogwarts Legacy. You want to quickly wrap up your thoughts on that one?
I know I'm a bit late to the train, but I finished it.
It's good to revisit later on because I was telling Jordan, were you in the last pod? I was telling Jordan that I dropped my score from 9 to 8 after some reconsideration. Yeah.
Dan, there are games that really push the envelope and redefine the genre in terms of it raises it to a new standard, and like let's say for open world. Hogwarts Legacy is not one of those games. But you know what game is? Elden Ring. And the reason I mention Elden Ring is I just think that Elden Ring to me has personally, in terms of these, the
it's open destroyed
world
your
fantasy,
mind.
It's really changed the standard for me. It's changed the way I look at open world design, and that is what I want. It's rich, it's rewarding in its exploration, it's vast, it's dense at the same time. It's vast but dense at the same time. It rewards you for exploring. Hogwarts Legacy, I love the world and I loved Hogwarts. The Hogwarts is really good, really well done. it's just that the open world, there, I didn't find much reward for doing anything. And, you know, yeah, it was just overpopulated with like Merlin trials, and that's it, really. Merlin trials. That's and the that's all that was the main activity, side activity to really do. You know, you didn't really get, there wasn't much reward really for clearing out.
I had the same issue where Hogwarts was thriving, the actual hot castle. But when you started going out, the further you went out, it was more bland. It was like they were just trying to fill it in a little bit.
And there's no real reward for doing anything aside from the missions, the quests. Because I could clear out a spider den, and what do I get? Some XP. Like, there's nothing of real benefit. And this goes to the other problem I had, Dan, which was the loot was really bad. Like, every time I opened a loot box, I was underwhelmed. And
what was
maybe,
with that? Yeah, I noticed the same thing. Yeah.
Maybe it was the difficulty I played it at where, I don't know, the armor I had was fine. Like, I didn't really, but, you know, I would do this really hard enemy boss. I would then have to find this really hard platforming section and get to this place where there's this big chest and then some green glasses. And it just felt really random where they didn't put the high-level loot in the high-level areas to reward people for going to harder places. It just seemed completely random where I'd go to an easy place and get a gold, I'd go to a really hard place and I'd get a green. And I know they had the big chests, which tended to have the good loot, but it just didn't really hit for me. And then I think the other thing was that there was, you know, I loved what they did, though. Like, the room of requirement, I thought, was really good, but it was a bit too active. It wasn't passive enough, a lot of that stuff, where I had to go, I had to plant, I had to feed the animals. I'm like, I'm not spending this animation bloody feeding the animals and combing their hair or whatever.
That is sort of the beauty of it. You don't have to do that.
You don't. But and you're right, Dan, you don't. Because the other problem is I don't think the armor system was that good. Like, I really got no encouragement to try better armor. I think I played on the wrong difficulty because the game was far too easy, I think. I think Ragnarok,
I don't believe,
was the
it
only
needed
one.
Armor. It should have done what Star Wars does.
And that's what I was gonna lead to, Dan. I'm enjoying finding new arm stuff for Cal, whether that be facial hair, whether that be clothing,
lightsaber,
even though it's purely
BD,
cosmetic.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the BDs, the lightsaber, the hilts, it's really enjoyable. Where Hogwarts, I actually stopped caring. You know, when I saw a loot box, I didn't care. I just kept going because I'm like, that being said, I really liked my outfit, the final character I had. It was had some cool outfit, but I don't know. And then, you know what the funny thing is, Dan? I remember, you know, this really sums it all up. You know the tokens? So I was in Hufflepuff, and you have to get the flying dandelion keys.
Yeah, that's...
And you open...
I ended up doing that, and that's the only outfit I ever wore.
But all you got is this cape.
Yeah.
Like, I know it was a cool cape, but after... It's a big quest, man.
It should have been a big gold fucking jacket or something crazy, yeah. I know what you mean.
It
felt
it
underwhelming.
Should have been some weapon. Like, I think the wands should have had a performance...
enhancing drug.
Like,
they should have had a gun attachment.
Red dot sight. They should have had something like you could change the base power of the wands. Or let's say some wands are better at the charming spells. Some wands are better at the explosive spells. Like, I just think that there wasn't much to do with the performance. Like, everyone just had the same performance. It was just better defense.
Hogwarts
didn't have a skill tree, did it? That's a good question. Did it? No, it just had new spells, which is great. That's
new
exactly
spells.
What you want.
Oh, but... I like that. I like the new spell aspect because I was...
No, it did have a skill tree, Dan. It did have a skill
tree.
It had talents. Yeah, the
talents. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be the issue. Okay. It had too much of everything.
It's an oversaturated world, Dan. It reminded me of one of the big gripes I had with Horizon Forbidden West, where there was just far, far too many activities in there.
But again, you don't have to do the Merlin trials. Like, I never did them.
Yeah.
I did about 10 and 10, 20.
Well, I had to, Dan, because every time, every 5 minutes, I'd bloody fill my backpack and have to go and sell it all. So I'm like, I need to do Merlin trials to expand my thing. But
I think that shouldn't have been tied with that. I feel like the Merlin should have been something else. I feel like the backpack should have been another quest or something.
Yeah, I agree. I just think, but the mini games are cool, like playing that Accio ball game or whatever.
I wanted more of that, but you give me more of the lock picking. I mean,
yeah, I know. And Quidditch, like when I first saw that game, I thought they're mentioning Quidditch a lot for when it's not in the game. And part of me is like, and they've got a Quidditch field and it's on the mini map and it's showing and they constantly mention Quidditch. I'm like, did they just plan to have Quidditch and then they realized they couldn't do it? Did they try to? I thought, for all intents and purposes, I honestly thought they'd have DLC and then have Quidditch and that's their way. So they took it out of the main
game. Now there's a Quidditch game announced. Yeah, like, so I don't feel like announced. They ever had it, but I like the those quests where you got to go through the rings. It's very video gamey, but they were fun. They were
the
fun.
Maze was fun. I liked the maze. They were good.
The maze. What's that?
Where it's like there's a box in the middle of the maze, the hedge maze, and it just magically appears, and you have to like go through the maze.
Yeah.
But the side quests were great. Like, I mean, Sebastian's one and Natty's one and the other person were great. There were like three. That was it.
Three
the
main
rest
ones.
Were just fetch quests.
Yeah, I know.
The rest were just horrible fetch quests. They're so boring. And I liked. I will say two more things.
You
I liked
get spoiled
the
from Elden Ring, man. Every quest is crazy and.
Yeah. I really liked the beast hunting. Like it's sort of like nod to Fantastic Beasts, and he can capture them in the bag. The other thing was, every time I went into a cave, my guy would go, "I better be careful," and then all the caves I went in, it's just a box. That's it. There's just one loot box. And my question is, this is the other thing where I'm like, where they question the design decisions, where it's like. Did they fully intend it to be like an Elden Ring where every cave had a boss and they just put a... Because he keeps saying, I better be careful before I get in here or I must take care as I go in here, but there's always nothing in there. It's just a box.
Man, I hate caves in games, even Elden Ring. I just hate caves. I don't know.
I love the Elden Ring caves because there's always a good boss in there.
Yeah.
There's always puzzles in there, but... And I like the mining caves because that's how you got the smithy.
No, I hate mining caves. I hate
all
mining
I did
caves.
Was just
get rid of
stones.
Them. No one mines. Stones. Get them out of my games.
Miss me more, baby.
But, I would love caves if they weren't so convoluted.
Yeah, they're a bit convoluted.
They're always
I don't like
they're always not very linear, and you don't know where you're going, and everything looks the same. That's probably why I don't like them. It's probably the design of it.
I will say just quickly the story. I think the reason why it was really subpar is that for 3/4 of the story, I was trying to find out what was going on. 3/4 of the story is doing trials. Like, where is, like, why did I get to do the story? And then Ranrock gets all the magic at the end. And I don't know. It wasn't that amazing. And I think the other thing is they didn't really explore the fact that, like, it's really cool that she could take someone's pain away. But they never explored, like, the ethical implications of, like, taking their pain away. Does that mean you're taking away their memories? You're making them robots?
You don't
like,
need to...
Dude,
no one thinks the story's any good.
No, but, like, you know, if you take away someone's pain, it's like sometimes they need pain to go through it. You know, I don't know. They just could have explored it much better than, oh, she took all the pain and stored the power in this big box and then Ranrock's trying to unlock it all. And it's a bit... It was just a bit boring. And not much to it, but I mean, my favorite one is Sebastian's storyline doing dark magic to save his sister. Too bad I never learned Avada Kedavra because I pressed the wrong dialogue option because I had no idea. Never learned it in the game, which was annoying. But anyway, it's still a good game. The spells were great. I think it's a great foray into it. They captured what it meant to be in Hogwarts, especially the starting part. I was enamored with the game going. It's just... As I played it, I got more and more annoyed at it or get less and less impressed because what really got me in the start with seeing the different spiders' nests, seeing the different animals, going to the Forbidden Forest, exploring, going to Hogwarts, Hogmead, upgrading myself. It just became so repetitive and
dude, when I was
I didn't go beyond that.
When I was in Hogwarts or even Hogsmeade, the game was at its finest.
Yeah.
But
anytime
when I was in that, you know, that back section where Ranrock is and that whole section, fuck that. That was the worst part of the game. Easily.
That was worse. Because that's the thing, Dan. Once you've played 10 hours, you've experienced everything aside from the story. You've experienced everything in Hogwarts Legacy in the first 10 hours. that was a big problem, because after that it just became a drag a bit. And maybe I'm being a bit harsh, but I would.
They're probably better off ripping the fetch quests and just putting in maybe instead of three main side quests, like, I don't know, 8 to 10. And maybe a few little things here and there. Or like just
meaningful stories. Yeah, I don't. It's just too much.
But then it might have felt too bland. So this is the balance that you got to strike. But it's still a good game. I think it's a great game still, because there's a lot to love. And there was one specific mission that was PlayStation exclusive that was really awesome.
In what
a shop.
Was it?
It was in a shop where you get your own little shop by the end of it, and this haunted shop.
Oh.
I don't know if you have it, but
as soon as I finish the story.
Look it up. It's a good one. It's a good one if you're still playing. But no, that's cool. That's cool.
6.5.
Yeah. That's for you? Yeah, I think Jordan gave it a 5 or 6 as well, man. That's crazy. All right. All right, guys, that's been a pleasure. We'll be back very, very shortly to talk about all the news. Make sure you leave a like and subscribe. What? We're not even on YouTube. What am I talking about? Make sure to leave a 5-star review on Whiskey on Rocks and,
nice.
And PS5 Central. And we'll see you in the next one.
Later. Thank you.